Psalm 37, 2 Kings 8. Psalm 37, verse 23, just one verse here in this spot. Psalm 37, 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now, 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 1. Then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise, and go thou and thine household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn, for the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. And the woman arose, did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. It came to pass at the 7 years' end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, Tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha hath done. And it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, a woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, My lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son whom Elijah restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, Restore all that was hers, and all the fruits of the field, even the day that she left the land, even till now. Let's pray. Father, come to you tonight. I pray that you give us wisdom in the things that we're going to talk about. And wisdom not only to preach it, but wisdom to also discern and to contemplate it. It'll take a little bit of thought and some discretion, a little balance, Lord, to make sure that we keep the right matter of temperance and the right moderation with it. But Father, we ought to always be looking for the hand of the Lord in our lives. And we pray that you'll help us to see some things tonight and realize that nothing happens by chance. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, what I'm going to talk about tonight is, I don't know, it's so much has to do, it's not so much a doctrine as it is a truth and a trend of the way the Lord deals with things. It's something that's illustrated, you know, in the whole Bible. But frankly, you'll find, and again, there's an issue of making sure you stay balanced on it, because a lot of folks aren't. But it's also something that we regularly see if you look for it in our own lives down here. And what you see, of course, is regulated by the Scriptures. Nobody will be talking tonight about living your life according to coin flips and lot drawings and Gideon's fleece, that kind of thing. But I want to talk to you for a little while tonight about the subject of timing. And the reason I bring that up, the Bible says there that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Fact of the matter is, so are the steps of a bad man, for that matter. But a good man tries to do right, and the Lord not only takes that good man through the righteousness of Jesus Christ to heaven, but he also leads him and guides him in a providential fashion in this life. You agree? And I'm looking here at this passage that we just read in 2 Kings chapter 8. That's a remarkable thing, don't you think? Here Elisha warns this woman to go away. He's raised her son to life in the past. He has a friendship with her, whatever. She goes away for those 7 years and sojourns in the land of the Philistines, and then comes back because the land's been confiscated. She comes back in. It just happens that day that the king has Gehazi in his court talking, you know, a talking shop about how great a man Elisha was. And while he's telling the king about the day that Elisha raised this woman's son back to life, he looks up and there that woman is at the doorway, you know, waiting for a beckon for entry into the king's presence. He says, well, that's the woman and that's her son. Now, you have to admit that in an entire kingdom, after 7 years of famine, et cetera, that's a fairly remarkable circumstance of timing, don't you think? And I wanted to talk to you for a little while about that, because the way things are these days, you know, folks will say, boy, she sure was a lucky gal. I wish I had some of her luck like she had that day. and that sort of thing. And I just want you to know that that is wrong thinking. And I wanted to talk for a little while tonight just about timing. I got some things from the Bible. This is not going to be a terribly ordered sermon or anything. I doubt you'll get a terribly homiletical anything out of it. But one of the most remarkable attributes of God is the fact that God really is sovereign. Now, I'm not a Calvinist. And when I talk about the sovereignty of God, I am not talking about the idea that you are an unwilling automaton, that you're a robot of some sort, where everything in your life is pre-scripted and pre-programmed, and you stub your toe at the appropriate moment that it's been predetermined in eternity that you would stub your toe, and you have a flat tire the moment that it's been predetermined in eternity that you will have a flat tire and all that kind of thing. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about it being like that. Nevertheless, it is true that things in this world are going to turn out the way God said they'd turn out. And it's important to say that also means that while you're not an automaton, you're not a robot, life isn't robotic. That at the same time, things don't happen randomly. It's also true that when things do happen, there's a reason for those things to happen. And when the Lord either causes or allows something to happen, or for that matter, not to happen in your life, that there is a reason behind it, and sometimes it's nothing more, perhaps, than to test your temper or test your spirit or whatever else. But the fact of the matter is, as crazy as this stupid world is, your God is not frazzled. Your God is sovereign. Your God is still on the throne. And this thing is not, you know, it's not spinning out of control with the Lord. Don't worry about Obama. God is still alive. God is still on the throne. And God foresaw Obama a long time ago, whatever Obama is. Right? So with respect to that, let me talk to you for a little while about that. And I want to say, too, that, you know, when I'm talking about this thing with timing, I want you to understand, too, that I'm not advocating this charismatic, you know, sign-seeking deal where everybody's always seeking a sign from God and every falling leaf means something. I'm not advocating that either. Like I said, there's an issue of balance here. There's an issue of some prudence and some discretion with it. But at the same time, our thinking tends to get secularized. We're surrounded by the world. We're surrounded by the world's thinking and the world's commentary on everything and all that. And if you're not careful, you'll wind up walking right past something that God intended to be a blessing for you because He arranged something in your life and you go, oh yeah, that was a nice piece of luck, and just keep on walking because you're followed by around, you walk in a world where people think that way. They think about luck and they think about chance. This is good luck. This is bad luck. This is, you know, what a bad sequence of events. Boy, am I having a bad day and that sort of thing. Well, folks, if you're having a bad day, you can rest assured that if it's not some great heavenly plot against your life, that the Lord really does intend for you to pass a test today and get over something or learn something that day, right? I'm talking about the fact that the Lord gives you cues in life. I'm talking about the fact that there are times in life that the Lord provides warning signs. You understand that all this is regulated by the Bible. I mean, I'm not talking about you going off of a sign without respect for what the Bible says. But when you do stop to consider some of the things that happen in life, it's pretty remarkable. So let me talk to you for a little while here tonight about timing. This was a remarkable piece of timing here in this passage with this woman. And she shows up after 7 years to reclaim her land, beg to the king for her land. And that king that day just happens to be talking to Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, who raised her son from the dead. And he goes, hey, that's her. That's a remarkable thing. That's a remarkable thing. First of all, I guess I'll start by just saying something general. You should be reminded that God is alive and well. Right? Bible says that the fool said in his heart, there is no God. Some bigger fool came along and said, God is dead. Then a whole bunch of even bigger fools came along and believed what the guy said when he said God was dead. And I assure you that God is not dead. The throne has not been left unattended for a single second in all of history. God's still on the throne. Your God is still alive. If you read your Bible, you know that your God is doing just fine. Healthy, happy, and doing well. He still holds your breath in His hand. The Bible says that He upholds all things by the word of His power. By Him, all things do still consist by Him. Now the lions are going hungry because He still feeds the young lions. He still knows when the goats of the rock bring forth and all those things. Your God is in perfect control. There's not a problem with that. But man tends to take things for granted. And one of the things that man tends to take for granted is timing. And that is the fact that sometimes God allows some things to fall together, inserted into our lives. Sometimes they're cautionary. Sometimes they're just for encouragement. Sometimes they're just for, hey, you know, I'm still up here. That's just a little sign that I wanted to leave you. One of those deals. I'll give you a couple of examples here in 2 Kings chapter 8. Again, it's a remarkable thing. You think there's any doubt in any of those four people's minds involved in this little scene in 2 Kings chapter 8 that there might be something else going on besides just, you know, just blind chance, just blind luck? You think there might be? You know, I'm thinking about the book of Esther and everything's falling apart and, you know, the King Ahasuerus kicks out Queen Vashti and gets a new queen. This time she's a Jewish queen, as it turns out, Esther. And in the meantime, he elevates some an Agagite, wicked Haman, to a high place in his kingdom. And one day Haman is strolling along and he finds out that Mordecai, Esther's, cousin or whatever, will not bow to him and so on. And so it really, really ticks him off. As a matter of fact, just about everything is spoiled for poor old Haman because one Jew won't bow properly to him. So he conspires against him and sets up a thing where he decides that he'll build some gallows and go to the king the next day to see if he just can't go hang Haman or hang Mordecai. And while in the midst of thinking about hanging Mordecai, by the way, he's also going to try to destroy all the Jews, right? Well, it just so happens that night, the king couldn't sleep. And so he tells one of his, you know, stewards to bring in his Tom Clancy novel. No, wait. Instead, he has him bring in not something interesting from history, but the writings in the King's Chronicles, where just like a daily journal thing that's kept. I mean, talk about dry reading. And in that journal is recorded the fact that Mordecai, a little while before, had been responsible for exposing a conspiracy against the king's life. And so the king sat up all night reading about that, and he says, man, what's been done for this guy? Well, nothing's been done for him. He said, I need to ask somebody what to do for this guy. And he looks up, and there's a Haman out in the courtyard. And Haman's coming there to talk about getting permission to hang Mordecai. And the king brings him in. He says, explains what's going on. He said, what should be done for a man that saves the king's life? He says, well, who would the king rather honor than me? And so, you know, he says, well, you put him on the back of the king's horse and put all the king's clothes on him and have a guy lead the horse down the middle of the street saying, this guy's a great guy. He said, that is a good idea. You go do that to Mordecai. Now, the point on all that is to say, isn't it odd that the king couldn't sleep that night? Isn't it odd that instead of calling for something interesting to read, that he called for what he called for? You know, it happened in the Lord Jesus Christ's life more than once. There's a day that the Lord Jesus Christ is getting ready for the Last Supper, and he says, okay, you two disciples, you go into town. And when you go into town, you're going to run into a guy with a water pitcher on his head. How many guys are walking around town with a water pitcher, you figure? Oh, a couple 300. And he says, follow that guy wherever he goes. And where he goes in, you go in and tell the guy there at the desk that you want an upper room for us to have the Last Supper. So they walk into town. There's a guy carrying a water pitcher. They follow the guy carrying a water pitcher. He goes into a certain place. They go into a certain place. And sure enough, that's where they... You folks, you realize what's involved with all that? The Lord had to know where the guy with the water pitcher was, where he was going, how he wound up there to get the timing right and all that. That's really quite an issue with timing. You understand? And another occasion, he says, I want to ride into town on the back of an ass's colt. So you go into town and you'll walk a few blocks. And then on your left, you'll see an ass tied and her colt. Just go right up and just take it. Like, you know, you try that with somebody's Lincoln and you'll see what happens. But you just take that donkey. And by the way, if the owner comes out, just say, ah, the master has use of it. Or has need of it. And sure enough, the master came out. He says, the master hath need of it. And the guy says, oh, okay, see ya. You say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, the point is that God is alive and well. And one of the places you see it, and while we're not advocating you living your life going from miraculous providential circumstance to miraculous providential circumstance, you should at least be aware that God is still well and that God does do things in your life day in and day out. I don't know how many times God has saved your life by providential circumstances. I don't know how many times He stopped you at a stoplight when if you had gone through, something else might have happened. I've seen that a couple of times in traffic. You don't know how many times the Lord has saved your children, and you don't even know about it. But it has to do with God's timing, that the Lord orders things. You know something else along the way? There's something plain, and that's the fact that God is very engaged in everybody's life. He's very much engaged in every life that's right here. You know, we sometimes get a little preoccupied. You know, we have to walk by faith and not by sight. And you know, things are going bad and things just are going to get worse. And we're going to all probably be sent to concentration camps or whatever. And you get a little preoccupied with stuff. And a lot of times what happens when you do that is you start walking right past some things that the Lord has done and set an order in your life. And you just think it's luck or whatever. And you tend to walk right past it. Folks, it ought not be so. It ought not be so. I remember, you know, I was saying when I was 10 years old, as you know, and went off to college as an athlete. I was a jock and got a scholarship, went off to college. And of course, during that time, for those first 2 or 3 years in college, I was off on my own for the first time. And I didn't get off into any real serious sin. I didn't wind up drug addicted or an alcoholic or anything like that. But you know, the fact of the matter is that along the way there were some times that I certainly would have gone that route if I'd been allowed to. And the fact of the matter is I can go back through and tell you some tales and won't about some times that the Lord, just as plain as day, ordered things in such a way that I was stopped from doing something that very well may have ruined my life. After about three and a half years in college, you know, I got fed up with the quote-unquote lifestyle. And out of the clear blue, I didn't know where to go to church. I'd been a Baptist my whole life, so it was kind of a given that I'd go to a Baptist church, right? And so I did. I walked into the biggest Baptist church in town. I think that they had 4,000 people in that church, and meandered in and meandered down a hallway during Sunday school time and walked into a single college men's class. And you know, as oddity would have it, as chance would have it, I stumbled into, this is a Southern Baptist church, folks, stumbled into a class where a guy was teaching Dr. Ruckman's material. You know, in within 3 months, the guy was gone because they found him out. I mean, really, teaching Ruckman's material in a Southern Baptist church? But you know, what I think back on in those days is that I had never heard preaching like that before in my entire life. And when I think back on it, if there was a turning point, it was that turning point, because I was ruined. I was ruined for good as far as the Bible's concerned. And from there, I was led definitively to go to Pensacola, was called in Pensacola, met my wife in Pensacola, and from Pensacola, when I graduated from Pensacola, I was here 3 days later. That all goes back to a time when, you know, I didn't even have sense enough to pray about where to go. But I went, and to this hour, I can tell you that I have no question whatsoever that if the Lord had just transported me to church, that He wouldn't have chosen a different church for me to go to than that one, just because of the way things were timed. I'm telling you, folks, God is very actively engaged in everybody's life. Marcy and I think this was even before we had kids, went back to Pensacola. I think it was to get ordained, if I'm mistaken. It was winter. And so we were trying to, I was, you know, studly do. So we were trying to make it back from Pensacola in one, you know, brutal day. So we were hauling it back. I was still driving my old Nova, I think. And it was snowing and slick and all, but would I pull over? Nah. So we hit Iowa. 35W, or 35 in Iowa. And before we knew it, we were into ice, and the roads were just completely iced over, and you know, nobody around. Once in a while, you get the gleam of a farm light off in the distance, you know, but it's cold, it's windy, it's nasty. And in a little while, this Cadillac comes up on us on the left, going about 90 miles an hour. Why he didn't spin out, I don't know. But as he came past me, I don't know if I twitched or if, you know, just the way the wind, you know, worked around it, I don't know, but the old Nova goes into a spin, and we get off in the ditch in about 3 feet of snow, and, you know, of course, I'm rocking the car back and forth, and it won't go out. It's an oddest thing that within about 2 minutes, this woman and her kid pull up, get out, and say, "We'll help you push out. We went off the road a little while ago, so we want to help you." Now, come on, folks, we're in the middle of Iowa. At 12 at night, you know, it's like, wow. So what's the point, Brother Stephen? The point is, the Lord is actively engaged in everybody's life. And I'm not trying to get you to be led by circumstances and that sort of thing. I'm not trying to turn you into quasi-charismatics that are always looking for signs. I'm just trying to keep you from looking past signs. I'm just trying to keep you from looking, you know, when the Lord does something to either encourage you or to stop you or a big old flag waving saying, whoa, there's a problem here. And if you keep going, you know, I'm going to whack you with a ruler and then I'm going to hit you with a 2x4. And, you know, that there's a time to stop. I remember it was a few years back, too, that we were looking for a place. Seth and Daniel were, you know, getting up towards, you know, teenagers and so on, and wanted to play basketball. So we started hunting around for a place for them to play basketball because they're homeschooled and all that kind of stuff. Called a guy. And we talk. Turns out he's a Christian. And yes, they do have a basketball team. Yes, Seth and Daniel can play. So that's kind of cool. And but you know, by the way, right now we're looking for a church. Well, that's kind of neat because I'm the pastor of a church. What kind of church? Well, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Well, where are you? Well, da da da. And you know, what's your name? He wrote us down. We're going to play basketball, so on and so forth. We chatted back and forth, a little bit of Christian fellowship. Well, we'll see what happens. Da 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 da. The weirdest thing happened, and the timing's going to be a little different. I can't remember all the details, but within about a week of that. Turns out that Judy, I think, is garage sailing. And at a garage sale, I don't remember if it was the owners of the garage sale or just somebody else garage sailing, walk up and say, "Those are kind of cool stickers on your car." "Oh, yeah, well, blah, blah, blah." "Well, what church do you go to?" "Well, you know, here's a track, this church." "This church, this is Kyle Stevens' church." "Yeah, he's our pastor." "Oh, I just talked to him the other day on the phone. And we were just looking for a church and da-da-da-da-da, you know, and so on." I mean, look at it this way, folks. I mean, I think the garage sale was up in Andover or Ramsey or somewhere. Dave and Judy, you know, live in Coon Rapids. These folks lived in Andover or Ramsey. Don't look now, but there's a lot of homes between Andover, Ramsey, Coon Rapids, Blaine, and all those. And can you tell me how it would work out that two people would wind up at a garage sale at the same time? And that the Lord would give them the commonality of this church when folks say they're out of church and are looking for a church and so on. Now, there's also a great lesson in that because those folks did come to church a couple times, but it turns out that they weren't really churchable. So one of the things that you've got to watch out for with the fact the Lord's working in your lives, and sometimes, you know, some pretty remarkable things fall into place. One of the things that you have to watch out for is something that happens all the time. The timing's there, and the Lord's in it. And sinners walk right past it. Don't do anything with it. Sometimes the Lord uses the way He times things to expose sin or to recompense sin. I remember one time Saul was told by Samuel, now, here in a few months you guys are going to go up to Gilgal, and you wait at Gilgal for 7 days. Well, Saul gets to Gilgal, and the Philistines are gathering against him. And he's getting really, really nervous. And so he waits till the days are almost up, and he says, I can't stand it anymore. And he goes and makes the sacrifice himself. Of course, just the moment that he's done, guess who comes up the hill? Samuel, right? It's kind of odd that the timing would be that way. You remember Ahab and Jezebel conspired to get Naboth's vineyard. And they wound up getting Naboth stoned for lying about him. And it just so happened that when good old Ahab, when Jezebel came in to give him the good news, you know, hey, sweetie poo, guess what? We took care of Naboth and you can have his vineyard. All you have to do is go take possession, sweetie. You know, sweetie went down there to take possession of the vineyard. And the strangest thing happened. He walked up to the gate, and there's Elijah leaning up against the gate. Imagine that. Just imagine that. It wasn't but just a few years later that the Lord finally pulled Ahab's cord, and he went out to battle against some folks. And the Bible says that there was this guy on the other side that just drew his bow at a venture, shot the bow in the air, and it just happened to find a chink and Ahab's armor, and you know, it's just one of those chance luck things. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord is in the timing. You know, Ahaziah was worried about whether he was going to get up off of his sickbed, and so he sends messengers to Ekron, to other gods, to see if they can prophesy to him about whether he's going to be able to get up off his sickbed or not. And you know, the strangest thing happened. It just happens that those messengers ran into Elijah. Just the strangest thing. So what's the point, Brother Stevens? The point is, ladies and gentlemen, is that a lot of times the Lord is in the timing. And sometimes it doesn't please us very much. Sometimes it's the timing is frustrating and aggravating. But whether it's frustrating or aggravating, or whether it's just exactly what you wanted and it's an answer to prayer and all that kind of thing, the fact of the matter is that the Lord is involved in the timing of things in your lives and in my life just as well. I've told you the story before. I still think about it. It's still a remarkable thing to me that it was a few years ago. We were still back in that end of the building before we built this side. And I got a call from a pastor whose name I knew in California. He goes, I've looked you up on the map, and there's somebody in your neighborhood that used to be in our church, and it's a lady, and she's now living with this guy that's not saved. Would you go see them? Sure, I'll be happy to go see them. And I did. It was actually right over by Brother Kehoe. And I did. I tried to go see them time after time. It was weeks. I'd go by every couple of days. Every time I was by here, I could never catch anybody home. I tried a morning, evening, night, whatever. Never could catch anybody home. So this goes on for a while. And what I remember is that there was one particular day that Marsh and I came to visitation. And that day happened to be a little odd because we were late getting away from visitation because we were later or whatever. I don't know. And besides that, just before we went over there, we decided we would go over there on the way to our neighborhood where we were going to knock doors to try to see this guy, see if he was there. I didn't expect to find him. But along the way, we had to stop by the post office too. And so it was just an odd thing. I mean, the timing, you might say, was really messed up. I pulled up to his house, and the oddest thing was that there was a little corner store down there. And as I pulled past the corner store to go to his house, there were four Coon Rapids police cars parked there. And I said, something must be going on. So I go up the street, turn around, and pull back up to the curb in front of this guy's house. And about that time, one of the police cars comes pulling up on the opposite curve. And I get out of the van, and he gets out of the car, and I start walking back behind the van to go up the driveway to see this guy. And the policeman comes up the driveway with me. I said, "Hi, officer." He says, "Hello. Who are you?" I said, "Well, I was going to visit this fella here, just a spiritual call. I'm a pastor up the street, and I was going to stop by and see him and see what's." He said, "Well, that'd be fine. Why don't you come up to the door with me? I have a warrant for his arrest." So this guy opens the door, and there's a preacher on one hand and a police officer on the other. One's after his soul. The other wants to arrest him. Now, by the time it's all over with, after a couple days, I got to lead that guy to Christ. Now, timing-wise, did it work out? Well, I guess he got saved, but he never came to church. Now, folks, you don't want to waste those times. You don't want to waste those things. A couple things. Something happened last year. It was the strangest. There was a guy that, I won't tell you who, that used to come to church once in a while. He wasn't an all-the-time guy. But he'd come to church once in a while, and he was one of those guys that comes to church for a while, and then one day, disappears. Doesn't answer the phone, don't know where he lives, just kind of gone, right? So, I believe it was not this year, but last year, I was still writing the booklets for camp, right? And so I wrote the booklets for camp, and Brother Williams was going to print the booklets for camp, only he got really busy, and it was kind of last minute, and as it turns out, you know, he didn't get a chance to print them at his place. And so I went shopping for a print shop to print the camp booklets. Right? I'm just going to pay him. Call somebody, I mean, seriously, out of the clear blue. And the guy that I called out of the clear blue said, "You know, I can't do it, but I can send you to a very reputable place." And gave me the name, the number. I called up, "Yeah, we can do it. We can have it done by so-and-so, whatever." And so it's over in Ramsey, and I ran it over there. I walk in the lobby of this print shop, and the guy that had left church and wouldn't answer the phone calls, he was sitting there. He worked there. He looked like he had been slugged in the stomach when I walked in. Now, folks, I sit there and thought, I said, "You know, Lord, when you want to get in somebody's front door, you're really quite capable of doing so." Again, that's another one of those situations where it didn't work out all that well because we still haven't seen that guy since. Now, I don't know what the Lord's doing in your life. I don't know what providential, circumstantial things have happened. I don't expect to win the lottery and that kind of thing. But I don't know what kind of things have happened in your life, but would you at least know that all things work together for good to them that love God? Then who are the called according? It may not be comfortable for you. It may be something you didn't want to happen. Maybe it's something you did want to happen. Maybe it's something you've been praying for to happen. Would you do me a favor and not walk past the opportunity? Would you not waste the providential working of the Lord? You know, the timing of things. Remember, the prodigal son went away from the father and went and was laying around the pig pen with the pigs and would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And the Bible says that, you know, that what put him there just happened to be this circumstantial famine. You know, just funny, the weird things happen in life. You know, just chance things in life where, you know, you run out of money and at that moment the Lord sends a famine. Boy, aren't you in good shape. Looks like that famine was made maybe just for that prodigal son. You know what I'm saying? You know, Herod's tooling along one day, living with his brother's wife, just having the biggest old time. And he drives by the street corner, and John the Baptist said, "It's not lawful for you to have her." Just a providential, strange thing. Simon Peter's goes standing peacefully by a fire, thinking. And this girl keeps walking up saying, "You're one of them, aren't you?" He kept saying, "No, I'm not. No, I'm not." And then finally, blankety blank, "No, I'm not." At which point, the cock crew. Now, who do you think told the cock to crow? Who do you think arranged the timing for the rooster at the wrong time of day to go,
What? That wasn't real enough? You want me to really try, don't you? You know, here's Esther, and it just happens that night that the king couldn't sleep. But they've been fasting. In fact, Esther is still fasting and praying. Now, it's a funny thing, but it was a hard thing to do. But the Lord called Abraham to take his son Isaac, his only son Isaac, up to Mount Moriah and offer him up there for a burnt sacrifice. And you know, he was going to do it. He really was going to do it. But along the way, he was praying. And along the way, he was seeking God in the midst of it. And with a full heart that was nonetheless broken, was going to go through with it. And you know, it just so happened that there was a ram stuck in a bush just as he was about to kill his kid. You know, it's funny how, you know, chance works, isn't it? You know, Eliezer is trying to find a bride for Isaac. Now, I don't know how you guys look for brides, but it never worked this way for me. Not quite this fashion, where you just go to a foreign country and sit near your camel and pray. But that's what Eliezer did. And the Bible says that Eliezer bowed his head there. He got to this place. Now what do you do, right? I mean, really, how do you get a wife for somebody that's not even here? What's he look like? He's cute. He's got a great personality. Eliezer prays and says, Lord, send along the right girl. And the Bible says that before he was done speaking, this girl shows up and offers to water his camels. Strange bit of luck that is, huh? I mean, here is Ruth, who marries circumstantially into this family. Just a family. But by the time it's over, her husband dies. But she's become attached to her mother-in-law, believe it or not. And she says, you know, whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I'll lodge. And she wound up going back to Israel with Naomi for the right reasons. And you know, it's the funniest thing, because she was willing then to go out and work in the field. And her hap, as in happenstance, was to light in the field of Boaz. And so by the time it's all over with, she's married to Boaz and winds up the Lord Jesus Christ's grandmother, great-grandmother. It's funny how chance works, isn't it? You know, folks, I don't know. I know how some of you got saved. And I know how some of you have been led, you know, in your lives, you know, since then. I mean, can't you bless the Lord once in a while for His leadership and the way that things have fallen for you? And can't you see that there's an order and a design? Look, I'm not saying that every flat tire you ever get is going to be a message from God. Every time you stub your toe or hit your head, you know, on something, you know, that, I don't believe for a moment that every one of those things is necessarily the providential, fatal predetermination from heaven or anything like that. But you know, when the Lord puts some sequences of things together and allows you to hear a particular message at a particular time, puts particular people in your path at a particular time, and you know, I tell you what you have to be careful of. What you have to be careful of is presuming that you know what that event means without the Bible. Because I'm not suggesting for a minute that you accept the leadership of circumstances without the Bible. But with the Bible, what you can do is look at those circumstances and say, glory to the God. The Lord is in this thing. The Lord either encouraged me or warned me off or waved a flag or pushed me on or kept me from getting killed or protected my kids or protected my family or whatever. It's just kind of nice to have one of those little breadcrumbs drop from heaven once in a while. Right? Here is Philip in Acts. And Philip in Acts chapter 7 is leading a revival. He's in the midst of a Samaritan revival. Samaritans are getting saved right and left. They're receiving the Holy Ghost. And things are really going good. And the Lord says, you know, you need to go south. You look like you could use a tan. Go south to the desert. He says, I don't want to go to the desert. We're in the middle of a revival. He says, no, you need to take a walk. So he went out there and ran upon a guy who, it so happened at that moment, was sitting in his chariot reading the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 53. It just so happened when he walked up, he was reading a prophetic passage about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he walks up and says, understand us what thou readest. He says, how can I understand except some man should guide me? He says, get up here if you know anything about this and tell me what this means. By the time the thing's over with, the guy's saved and baptized and goes back and wins a bunch of Ethiopians to Jesus Christ. Folks, I'm just saying that the God of timing hears your prayers and orders some things in your lives. And I don't want you to become, I'm not suggesting that you become preoccupied with those things to the extent that you're just always looking for a sign. That is a charismatic mistake, all right? But in yoke with reading the Scriptures and prayer, if you'll look around by faith and see that, you know, once in a while an extra long stoplight might have kept you from getting in an accident, that once in a while a bad turn of events, a frustrating turn of events, just might have instilled, you know, some portion into your character that allows you to deal with something later in life that's much bigger and much more important in a better way than you would have. Right? You know, the Lord takes Job, and you will have to admit, you know, I had a roommate in Bible school, and I was telling Dave about this the other day. I had a roommate in Bible school, and let me remember how this went. We were rooming together. We were rooming in a trailer, he and I and another guy. And let me see how this worked. Oh, we got up that morning and drove separately to work because he was going to have to get off work for something earlier, a dental appointment or something. And we got to work, and as he was going to work, his car threw a rod. So he lost his car. We got to work, and were informed that day that we would be laid off next week. And we got home to learn that the lady wanted our trailer back. That guy lost his car, his job, and his trailer, and had a dental appointment. All the same day. And you know, Job is quite a sequence of events. It's quite a turn of luck, don't you think, that in one day, he lost all he had, and he lost his kids, and then by the time, you know, everything's over, he loses his health as well, all in one day. And what was that about? That was all about the Lord digging around, trying, well, it was about a spiritual battle, that's true. He had something with the devil that he needed to settle, the Lord is, that is. But there's also a little matter between the Lord and Job, where there was just enough of a streak of self-righteousness that the Lord decided to put him through some things and to deal with him in his character. Something nobody could see, nobody ever quite determined it. You know, Elihu finally figured it out, I guess, because the Lord didn't get on Elihu. But as far as Eliphaz and Zophar and whatever the other guy's name was, they never did figure it out. It was something between Job and the Lord. You know, here is Lazarus. Not Lazarus. Yes, Lazarus dies. And Jesus Christ is close to Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And they send before Lazarus dies to say, Lord, our brother is sick. He whom thou lovest is sick. So the Lord waits 2 days before even starting back. In the process of time, Lazarus dies. Jesus Christ shows up to the house, and Martha trots out and says, what? If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But, you know, if he hadn't died, then he wouldn't have been able to have been raised from the dead. See, what I'm saying, folks, is, you know, sometimes God's timing reflects a deeper purpose than you understand. When Ruth first married into that family, she could not have known that father-in-law was going to die, brother-in-law was going to die, and then that hubby was going to die, and then that she was going to wind up going back to Israel, wind up landing in one guy's field who would wind up asking her to marry him, who would then become the great-grandfather of the Lord, did I say the Lord Jesus Christ a little while ago? I'm sorry, David. Okay, who eventually, Jesus Christ. But the great-grandmother of David, right? Sometimes the things the Lord puts you through have a deeper purpose. And if you walk past the providential circumstances, then you miss it. You know, I tell you what really is hard, and that is where folks walk past those circumstances. They don't have eternal life. It's bad enough when Christians walk past them. But somebody that's lost walks past circumstances that would lead them to the most precious thing there is, which is eternal life. And they count it good luck, bad luck, you know, somebody's a jerk. You know, somebody just showed up to my door, but that somebody is a jerk, and they don't even pay attention to the message. Can I tell you something? You know, there's a book, and it's a little book on statistics. And you know what it shows is that there were 48 prophecies that were fulfilled about the Lord Jesus Christ from the Old Testament within a day or so of his death, the day of his death and resurrection. There were 48 prophecies fulfilled. Somebody ran the numbers on the probability of 48 pre-written prophecies coming to pass on the day that a guy dies, like the Lord Jesus Christ did. You know what the statistics are? 1 chance in 10 to the 157th power. You don't even know what that number's called. You can't conceive a trillion, much less can you conceive 1/10 times the 157th power. You know what that means? That means that statistically speaking, there is nothing that is more certain than Jesus Christ's death, burial, resurrection, and that the promises that he promised you would come to pass. There is not a surer thing around. And if you miss that, you miss everything. Do you believe that God can put together such circumstances, such providential circumstances? He did. He did. You imagine the day that the Lord Jesus Christ walked into those 10 lepers' lives, into Lazarus, Martha, and Mary's lives, into the widow of Nain's son's life, and the day that he walked into their lives, providentially, out of nowhere, you just walking around, you know, and these guys were walking around. Widow Nain, she was on her way to her funeral, and she'd already been crying for her kid and stuff, but this guy showed up, and life changed in that instant, forever, right? All out of providential circumstances. No, folks, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. There are things that happen in life that are frustrating beyond belief. There are things that happen in life and it just seems like they're just arbitrary, and it's like, ugh! Well, you know, even in those things, you know, I think one of the things that we don't appreciate too much is the Lord meddling. We particularly don't like Him meddling when I need to be more patient, more kind, less temperamental, less despondent, more zealous, more loving, less temperamental, and all those things. And the Lord gives you a sequence of events in one day that just about causes you to pull all your hair out. It's never happened to me. Right? You really don't appreciate the Lord meddling like that, but He does. And sometimes some of the stuff that we go through is nothing more than the Lord giving you a little trial and seeing how you're going to deal with it, and will you change? And so he gives you a sequence of them to see if you're better after a sequence of six of those trials. But you know, folks, sometimes it's about more than that. I mean, sometimes it's the Lord trying to, you know, trying to encourage you to say, look, I'm still here. I'm still on the throne. You know, the other day, Marcy, I think I told you, Marcy was, I forgot who I told and who I didn't, but Marcy went over to the Caribous so Anna could teach the Caribou kids a music lesson. She calls me up and she says, the van won't go in reverse. She calls me up, I said, well, try to get it home and forward. She called me up and said, the van won't go forward now. And so this is 2 days before, 3 days before we leave to go to Iowa, right? And so I got a van with no transmission in it, and I need to go to Iowa. And you know what was kind of cool? What was kind of cool was to get up on Friday morning and pray. And say, okay, Lord, if you don't give me a van or something to go in, then I have to borrow somebody's or something. And somebody offered to loan us a van. And we were going to get to go to Iowa by all, for as far as I know, we were going to get to go to Iowa. But the Lord gave us a van on Friday. You say, that's no big deal. I know it's not. But it's still kind of nifty once in a while to see things fall together. And to be able to say, you know, I prayed about that thing. And you know what God did? God answered a prayer. Imagine that. God answers prayer. Oh, yeah, it does. Now, folks, all I'm saying is all things work together for good to them that love God. I didn't even lose my temper when Marcy lost the transmission. I didn't. I said, well, Lord, you know, that's the way it goes. I'm glad it wasn't a Cadillac or anything that she lost the transmission in, but I'm just kidding. But seriously, folks, don't look past when some things fall together where the Lord's waving a flag and saying, you better watch out. I'm going to nail you with a 2x6 if you keep on. Who here hasn't had some stuff happen in our lives with one thing or another? Maybe it's a car, maybe it's something else, where as soon as you got nailed at that thing, you knew full well the Lord was saying, I told you no. Now the next time, it's going to be a 2x6. Who hasn't been there? Don't ignore those times. Right? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness and your love to us. We appreciate your watch care over us. We are your children, Lord, and we know that whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth us. But it's not just chastening, Lord, because we also know that you give us things in our lives to encourage us, to instruct us, to warn us, probably to reward us. And it's up to us to get in the Word of God to find out what some of those things mean and to figure out exactly what you're trying to say by these providential circumstances. But Father, we are glad that we have a God who's able to affect timing. We're glad for a God who's able to affect a situation from outside and to make it plain that there's a plan and that there are details that only God can take care of. So we pray that you'd help us. Help us to be people of faith and not to overlook these things. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to number 295.
couple minutes here. Give me an opportunity to come tonight. If maybe you have something to say to the Lord, or maybe He has something to say to you. We are all guilty of overlooking some times. The Lord's doing nothing more than trying to get our attention. Maybe even trying to be a blessing. And we overlook it and ring it up to chance or some such thing like that. Now, we ought not think like that. Folks, if we are folks that walk by faith and not by sight, then we ought to be able to see some things by faith that the world doesn't see. And when the Lord is waving a caution flag, or for that matter, a reward or encouragement, we ought to make sure and give Him the appropriate response. A caution flag means, Lord, I'll peel off and quit. A reward means, thank you, Lord, for giving me a little handful of purpose. I'm not advocating walking by sight, not by faith. I'm not advocating going from one providential blessing to the next. I'm not talking about that. I am talking about not ignoring the things that the Lord puts together in our lives. I am talking about going to the Bible and through the wisdom the Bible grants, the discernment, seeing some of the handiwork of the Lord involved in that. Look this way and sing the last stanza. Anybody's interested in helping out Jessica with a meal, I'll see Marcy, all right? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your love and goodness to us, your oversight of us. The Bible says, many are thy thoughts which are to usward. We appreciate that very much, Lord. We're appreciative of your long suffering and your watch care. You probably think of us a lot more than we think of you, that's for sure. So we're asking that you'll give us grace to get a hold of these passages, and may we contemplate these things as we go about our lives this next week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.